This is the old Trailblazer broadcast coming to you once again. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Algiers, where Pastor L.R. Shelton was a founder and a pastor here for many, many years. And many of you have heard Pastor Shelton, the Voice of Truth broadcast over this nation many years. And we are here now taking up the reins of the work here, bringing you another old-time, old-fashioned gospel study, gospel message we call the old Trailblazer. And we're looking at a study now we just began recently on the soon return of our blessed Lord. Did you know our Lord's soon coming, my folks? You know, I know that we live in a world, a fast-paced world. Everything is fast-paced, food's fast-paced, dressing's fast-paced, and those things are so fast-paced. I saw a place not long ago, a funeral home, where they had a drive-in window where you could drive by and observe the coffin of the corpse in a drive-in window in a funeral home. Now, my friend, that's kind of stretching it, isn't it? We're in a fast-paced world. But our Lord's coming back. The Bible says, when all of these things begin to take place, look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. And I could go into all those things that he mentioned that was going to take place, but I won't do that at this time. We're looking at this study on the soon return of our blessed Lord. Did it ever occur to you out there that the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only doctrine in the Bible with which God bids his servants to comfort sorrowing saints? Now, my friend, I conduct many, many funerals because when I came here as a pastor, the congregation was many elderly folks there. Many of them now have died and gone on to be with the Lord. But listen, these are the only words that we have in God's Word to comfort sorrowing saints. We don't say, well, you know, we go and meet Mama and meet Papa in heaven, meet Grandma and Grandpa. No, that's foolishness, my friend. Listen to 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. This statement follows several verses setting forth the second coming of our Lord back to this earth again. This is also true of the Old Testament. Turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 40 and read there. Comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord God. O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountains of O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up high. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. I've seen and heard many, many preachers today and others, deacons and laymen, attempt to comfort sorrowing mothers over the death of their children by telling them that they're going on to heaven. But nowhere in God's Word is such comfort set forth, and I don't do that, my friend. I do not do that. I tell my folks here who go on home or go on to be, they're taken out of this world. If they have given evidence, that's not my business. If they've given evidence that they knew the Lord, then I'm able to comfort those folks that soon the Lord coming back to get you and me. But I don't stand at a coffin somewhere and heap laurels on some poor old man that he was a great daddy and a great, all those things may be true. But my friend, that's not what the Lord says. No, sir. Nowhere in God's Word is it set forth for us to do that. It's the second coming of our Lord that comforts the hearts of born-again believers. Yes, it may be strange, but it's true. Would you think about that for just a moment? The only comforting thing that I can say to you is, my friend, you here who are left behind when some tragedy strikes, that look up. If you know the Lord, now that's a good starting place, isn't it? That's a good starting place. Do you know the Lord this morning, my friend? The old Trailblazer being true to your soul? Can I just ask you, do you know the Lord? Are you ready to meet the Lord? I know. I know what I find here. I find folks don't want to talk about eternity. I have folks that say, oh, don't talk about death. But I do, my friend. I talk about death. I tell folks how that I've been to the morgue and pulled those drawers out that the coroner did and placed my hand on that cold, dead body to identify it. Been in a wreck or something. I've done those things. And then I've been in the mortuary where they do that work there, and I see death. And then I see them when they put them in the casket, all rosy-cheeked and a smile put on their face by the undertaker and those things. But, my friend, where is that soul? Are you ready to go meet the Lord this morning? Let me ask you that kindly, just kindly and gently. Folks tell me the old Trailblazer is just an old crackpot. Well, my friend, I love your soul. I do. I'm just attempting to put something in your path to keep you from going out into eternity. Let's look in the next place. The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and the events connected with his coming are the blessed hope and the eager desire of every born-again believer. Now, is that your hope? Are you looking for the Lord? Are you looking for the Lord? I don't mean stand out here in the street and look up in the sky and wait for some kind of a sign. I'm not talking about that. But as I go here, as I pastor this church day by day, going about getting the administrative work done here, making decisions here and there, I'm looking to the Lord. I look to the Lord. I don't stand out on the street and look up. No, sir, I sure don't. But in my mind, in my heart, in the back of my mind, there's always that desire, Lord, come. Come quickly. Come quickly. That's right. I get letters from the saints, some of the older saints who are coming down to the end of life, and they say, Pastor, I'm ready to go. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, come. And I know what they mean, my friend. Are you tired of this life? If you know the Lord, are you tired of this life? Or are you still piling up what you can pile up and what you can get in this life and make a name for yourself and leave a bundle for your ungodly children to squander? Are you doing that? My friend, don't do that. If you have money stashed away somewhere, send it in here to the radio mission. We'll put it to work getting out the gospel. Now listen, is that your desire? Is that your hope? Is that your desire day by day to see the Lord Jesus Christ? Listen again to 2 Peter 3, verse 11. Seeing that these things are all thus, all to be dissolved. Let me read that again. Seeing that these things are all thus, are thus all to be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy living and godliness, looking for and earnestly desiring the coming of the day of God, by reason of which the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Oh, my friend, once the second coming of Christ was the blessed hope of the church. But today, the average group that calls himself a church scarcely know anything about the second coming of our Lord. He's not the blessed hope. No. No, we live in an hour of such spiritual dearth and darkness, and the second coming of Christ has been so belittled, minimized, cried down, counted non-essential, unimportant, insignificant by the average pastor and preacher and theological professor, until our people are all but in total darkness and there's no hope in their bosom. Do you have a hope in your bosom, my friend? When you lie down at night on your bed, first of all, do you thank the Lord for the day that's come and gone, that now you can draw aside and take rest tonight? Do you thank the Lord for that bed that you're laying on in the nighttime? Do you do that? And then, when you get quiet, can you, in the dark maybe, close your eyes? Are you looking for the coming of the Lord? Listen, are you thinking about the Lord? Listen, thank God the second coming of Christ is a blessed hope and the desire of every true born-again child of God. Now, I know, I'm not ignoramus, I know that we don't quit our jobs and all of those things and start looking up, the Lord's coming. No, we don't do that. The Lord gives us more sense than to do that. But look, let's notice further that the coming of the Lord is a teaching which the particular object of hatred and ridicule of unsaved religionists who walk after their own lust. Worldly intellectual preachers, worldly churches, worldly professed Christians hate the doctrine of his second coming who walk after their own lust. Now listen to the word of God. 2 Peter 3:3, knowing this first, that in the last days mockers shall come, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Where is the promise of his coming? For from the day that the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Yes, the doctrine of the second coming of Christ is an object of hatred and ridicule on the part of unsaved religionists. This is one of the signs of his soon coming, because he says here, in the last days, mockers shall come. In the last days, mockers shall come. We're living in those days now, my friend. The Apostle Paul said, perilous times shall come. Aren't we living in perilous times now? Not necessarily wars and rumors of war. No, but we're living in perilous times when our morality has disappeared from our homes. No longer do we have discipline in our home. No longer do we see young men and women coming up to be morally clean. No, they begin now. Many of them run after the lust and pleasures of this life. We having babies and all of those things, my friend. Illegitimate children, marriages falling apart. Those things are predicted. Those perilous times, my friend. And it's only one here and one there that I talk to who wants to see the Lord come back. No, sir. No, sir. There's no desire there because they feel like all their pleasure will be done away with. People living in a pleasure-mad world, my friend. We're living in a pleasure-mad world. We're living in those days. Everywhere you turn, folks belittle, make fun, and laugh at the second coming of Christ back to earth. This shows they don't know the Lord or they don't want to know Him. The longing of my heart here as a pastor of this church, the desires of my soul, is to see my Lord, to see the God who died for me, the God who went there on Calvary's cross. I've attempted many times to describe, but listen, one day I'll see Him face to face. I'll be like old Thomas, who fell at His feet saying, "My Lord and my God." Is that your hope, my friend, that one day you'll see the Lord? I do. I do. I don't care about the particulars of all the things. We have folks go to seed on one thing and another and all those things. But, my friend, listen. The blessed event is that the Lord is going to return to pick up His own. Here, the dead shall rise first, and then those of us who are alive, if that's you and me, do you know the Lord this morning, my friend? Are you going to be one of those who are alive, or are you going to be one of those who are left for the tribulation period? Oh, yes, the saints are not going to go through the tribulation period, my friend. Don't let anybody kid you with that. Our Lord's coming back. The scriptures are so plain and so clear. We're going to get into that one day. But it's so good to be back with you this morning or at this time. Some of these messages are heard later on in the day. But I praise the Lord for the radio. Well, we're going to continue day by day bringing these studies on the second coming or the soon coming of our blessed Lord. I wish I could sit down by your side and talk to you. This is Pastor Pendarvis, the old trailblazer. Till next time, goodbye and God bless you.